At the beginning of the academic semester this fall, a Michigan State University professor became the focus of controversy over a video recorded in his classroom. English professor William Penn's remarks on Republicans went viral. "We apologize for the quality of what you're about to hear, but you should be able to make this out." This was one comment in which he considers Republicans to be cheap.
"Be forewarned, I'm eccentric. I hate bureaucracy. I will say what I think. I in no way mean to offend you. If I do, I said it. Come up, tell me. I will apologize. And I absolutely don't mean to offend you. Even if you are a Republican, I don't mean to offend you in this class. Outside of class is a different matter. Okay?"
Okay, there was Professor William Penn. Elsewhere in his presentation on the first day of classes, he said he mentioned that Republicans don't want to pay taxes because they've already raped this country. And other remarks, he suggested that Republicans are closet racists who want to prevent black people from voting because they tend to vote for Democrats. Now, one result of the criticism over the video was a decision that Penn would not teach this semester. The incident has brought attention to the issue of academic freedom and freedom of speech. Now, a committee's been formed to further look into MSU's handling of the Penn affair. Communication Professor William Donahue is chairing the Committee on Social Media, Pedagogy, and Academic Rights and Responsibilities. Welcome, Professor Donahue.
Thank you very much.
And Penny Gardner is an assistant professor in the Department of Writing, Rhetoric, and American Cultures. She also serves on the committee. Hi, Penny.
Hello.
Bill Donahue, let's start with you. What has this committee exactly been asked to do?
We've been asked to explore the extent to which students and faculty and others have sort of social media rights in the classroom. So when a professor says something in the classroom, do students have the right to record and upload anything that goes on in class? Does the faculty member have the right to prohibit students from recording what goes on in class and uploading that to some social media site? The current policy on social media use at MSU, which our committee, the University Committee on Faculty Affairs, crafted last spring, doesn't mention these kinds of rights and responsibilities. The policy, which is about 7 pages long, it's fairly extensive, just talks about sort of responsible use by faculty members and students related to
it. Not specific enough then, really?
No.
Okay. You're both experienced professors at Michigan State. Has a student ever tried to videotape one of your lectures, Penny?
No, but I will tell you that the incident is chilling for me as a fixed-term faculty that gets hired semester by semester, that a tenure-track faculty, although I do believe perhaps his rant, as it's been called, was inappropriate, but in thinking of academic freedom and job security, I am concerned about who I am as a person, as an old person, as a leader in the LGBT movement, and how I could be recorded and passed on to someone and then have the university say, "Ooh, she's trouble. Let's not have her." So I think that's a piece of the academic freedom that was scary to me as that tenured faculty being removed from his class as a distinguished faculty member that is from a minority population, has diversity, is published, and has earned something. I do believe we do have to be appropriate in the classroom. Although I come out as a lesbian on the very first day of class, could that be recorded and used somewhere?
Well, Bill Donahue, are you confident that academic freedom and transparency can coexist here? And is that the end game here, really?
Yes. I think it's important to point out that the university didn't remove William Penn from the classroom. He met with folks at MSU, and they sort of discussed how would you like to go from here, given the media frenzy associated with this particular issue? What would you like to do? And he sort of decided that what he would like to do is remove himself from the classroom for the semester because he didn't want the exposure. He was never asked to leave. He was never told that he should leave. He made a joint decision with the administration to reassign him to other duties for the semester. I share Penny's concern. I mean, just when somebody says something and it gets a reaction, you know, how is it handled and treated? But in this particular case, it's clear from remarks that administration's made to my committee that they were not going to remove anybody for what they say in class, particularly in this particular instance.
Well, had he not decided to drop out, though, do you think the administration would have taken some kind of action?
No. I don't think they would have said, based on your comments, you can't teach her anymore.
Really?
I don't think they would have done that. MSU, in my experience, has supported people to express themselves in class. I mean, here's as Penny points out, a distinguished faculty member.
Had he stayed in the classroom, it's not hard to assume that there would have been some percentage of the public who would have been very upset about that, though.
And that's the piece, that part of academic freedom is that the pressure from outside should not dictate what goes on in the classroom.
Even at a publicly funded university?
Even at a publicly funded university,
this is what
I believe.
A lot of people can't. This is
right.
What a lot of people can't get past.
It's not, but in terms of academic freedom, which is a policy that was written back in 1915 by the American Association of University Professors or something like that. I kind of went back and was looking at that it can't be, the pressures from outside can't be forced on a professor speaking in terms of their discipline and what they're doing. And I also would question whether Penn leaving the classroom was the best thing. It might be that it could have been a very wonderful and rich dissent and conversation and learning for the students and for the professor and for the university. And that's all. And there's another story that I think that's been said about whether – I never heard that he agreed to leave, but maybe that wasn't made public.
No, it the media – reports, I think, sort of slanted it, indicating that he was removed.
Okay.
And he was not removed. He volunteered in a joint decision-making process to reassign himself because he was afraid the media circus could have a negative impact. So it's a very interesting issue. I mean, I study hate speech as part of what I do academically.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly if a professor gets up and starts ranting in a hate speech kind of way, and was this hate speech? I mean, there's no clear definition of what that is, but if somebody gets up and starts ranting about something that's clearly aimed at disparaging groups of one form or another, how should the administration respond to that? I mean, what's the responsibility? And, you know, there just aren't very clear-cut guidelines about what counts as academic freedom and what counts as hate speech. I mean, this has been a debate that's gone on forever.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what the discussions are right now involving Professor Penn and his return to the classroom? Can you shed any light on that?
I don't know if he's coming back next semester to teach or not. I assume he is, but I don't know that for a fact.
Can you generalize? Can you generalize that the larger faculty response to this is similar to Penny's?
Yes. I mean, the media discussion was that he was removed, and I think that was what most faculty believed to be true, because it was never really corrected. And, you know, there have been lots of discussions about about those kinds of concerns. I mean, when you're in a classroom and you say something controversial, you know, and it can get uploaded, that's what our committee is mostly concerned about.
Last December, conservative commentator David Horowitz appeared here at Michigan State, and a member of the journalism faculty, Bonnie Buckaroo, a person you probably
yes, I know,
do know
Bonnie, sure.
Videotaped some of Horowitz's comments and posted them onto YouTube. Again, apologies for the slightly muffled audio, but here is how that ended.
Very few people know the full history of the Nazis in Middle East.
By the way, is that a film?
It's video.
Yeah, you should have asked for permission to do that.
This isn't an open meeting?
Not to be videoed.
Oh, I thought you recommended that students should video their professors. You want everything transparent.
Oh, I got some communist here. Let's go on. Go ahead.
Could you?
Oh, good. I'm a little further left than that.
Would you identify what some of the basic elements of Sharia are and what they mean to Christians?
You know, I'm gonna have to confiscate this film, and I'm gonna tell you why. I'm gonna tell you exactly why, because people like you filmed me when I was at Brooklyn College, and they extracted a sentence here and a sentence there, and it was all over the internet.
To confiscate?
Yes.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Well, I'm leaving.
End of video. Now, David Horowitz is not a faculty member at Michigan State University. He was here, and I'm quite sure paid to be here by some campus group. My question is this. How can some of the same faculty pursue transparency so vigorously in one circumstance and appear to resist it so vigorously in another set of circumstances? Can we shed any light on that conundrum?
I believe that in academic freedom, Horowitz was absolutely correct, able to be here and to be invited and to be paid. And I believe that in an open meeting, perhaps it can be filmed. I don't believe a classroom is an open meeting. I believe the classroom is a contract between the student and the professor, and the professor has a contract with the university that has academic freedom in it.
Even at a publicly subsidized university.
I don't know why you keep asking that. Because
a lot of people feel that's really at the heart of this.
But they're also, the public is paying for their students or for the citizenry to be educated and to be able to be to descend and to argue and to promote and to do whatever. And that's what we're teaching. We're teaching students to have their own voice, to make their way in this world, either in a job or as a thoughtful person, as a citizen of the United States.
And that requires some provocation from the
right,
part of
I would guess.
We're down to 30 seconds. Bill Donahue, any final comments on this process?
Yes, I want to emphasize that the university shares Penny's passion for students being able to explore their concerns, their interests, their thoughts, their feelings about various issues. And we need to have that kind of open exchange. That's how knowledge grows. That's how we progress as a university. So that's what our committee is going to be looking into.
All right. We'll be keeping track of it. Hopefully we'll have you back. Communications Professor Bill Donahue, chairing the Committee on Social Media, Pedagogy, and Academic Rights and Responsibilities. Penny Gardner, an assistant professor in the Department of Writing, Rhetoric, and American Cultures, is also on the committee. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.